Everyone standing on your feet all over the house for the reading of the Word of God. Psalms 23, verse 5. And then I'm going to take you to Matthew 26, verse 26. Psalms 23, verse 5. We know the famed psalm, but I think sometimes we misunderstand the prophetic inclination of the psalm. This is David writing from his past, but hope for his future. See, vision is fueled, it is powered by your past and your future. It's just that we don't know how to use our past for fuel. You use your past for fuel when you look back and realize I ain't never going back. So whenever you feel stuck, all you gotta do is look back. That gives you a reason to keep going. Prophetically, he's writing with this two-dimension concept in this text. He's writing because he's recalling from his history as a shepherd what he would do for his sheep. But then he makes it a psalm unto the Lord for himself. The Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes you got to put yourself in the text. The Lord is my shepherd, and make it personal. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The shepherd has to lead the sheep beside still waters because sheep won't eat in conflict. So sometimes God got to slow the thing down for you. He restores my soul for his name's sake. I don't even have to go there. I don't have time. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. All of this. But here's in the middle of this psalm is something that spoke to me significantly and prophetically. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I'm going to read it again so you can get what I got. You prepare a table before me. So the prepared table is happening before I even get there. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, you got divine arrangements, baby. You got divine arrangements. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So the table is being prepared before me, while my enemies are present, but I'm not at the table yet. So that means my enemies were invited to my table. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. For all of y'all trying to get rid of your haters, God is inviting them to your table. And there's a reason why God invites the hater to your table. All right, I'm sorry. Let me go. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, here's the second part of this that's prophetically significant and important. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Matthew 26, verse 26. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm praying for me. Y'all don't understand. Yeah. This thing is real. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body. Verse 27. Then he took the cup, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, don't drink from it, all of you. Keep going. Verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many, for many, for the remissions of sins. Keep going. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine, of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Keep going. And when they had sung a hymn, this is where I want to go. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I want to preach to you from the message title, The Table is Set. Spirit of the living God, you have brought us to this moment not to be entertained, not to be manipulated. You have brought us to this moment so that we might receive a word from you. Speak, Lord, by your spirit and by your power. I am just a messenger today, so anoint me as so. Move me out the way just so that you can use. I yield myself to you. Speak as you will. Give us a word that'll change not some things, but everything. A word that will cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A word that will transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing that needs to happen in this moment is that you have your way. So I stand in the spiritual authority that you've given me, and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, loose yourself in this atmosphere, Holy Ghost. Heal, touch, and deliver. Let no one leave the way they came, but let us all be changed by your power. And we'll give you all the praise, and we'll give you all the honor, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. You'll agree. Shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God's blessed you with. You know how we do at KLC. Gold teeth is usually included because it's Baltimore. So come on, smile and look at them and say, the table is set. The table. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The table is set. When I look at Psalms 23, I look at it with a prophetic imagination to understand what David is really writing about. We quote this psalm, we pray this psalm, but we really don't understand the prophetic detail that's in the psalm. David is writing from history. He's writing from an understanding of what he went through as a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he knew what it was like to lead sheep, and he understood what the proclivities were of the sheep, and he understood what the problems were going to be in the passages that he was going to take. And he understood that he had to have a staff and that he had to have some protection for the sheep, because there was always some type of calamity, always something that was going to try and deter the sheep from getting to where they need to go. But can I suggest to you that the deadliest animal, the deadliest attack on the sheep wasn't going to be a wolf. It wasn't going to be some dog. It wasn't going to be some lion. It wasn't going to be some wild animal. But can I suggest to you that the deadliest thing that a shepherd had to deal with in Palestine was something called the bowfly. Look at your name and say, the bowfly, the bowfly. Yeah, the bowfly was a fly that would attach itself to you and that would lay its eggs inside of your skin. And what it would do is it would attach itself to your skin only to give birth to what it's pregnant with, so that the eggs would have a warm place to be able to germinate and grow. And then what would happen would be is the sheep would go on along the pasture and then would just drop dead as they're going to the place of promise. The reason they would drop dead was because the bowfly would come in and put its eggs in the back neck of the sheep. And they would put it on the head. And all of a sudden, the soul, the head, the mind of the sheep would begin to be contaminated. And the sheep would be fatigued for no reason. And the sheep would be lost for no reason. In other words, the sheep would just wander off all by itself, even though it knew it had a shepherd that was leading it to a green pasture and had a history of knowing how good the shepherd was. The sheep would just stray off and go its own way. It would go its own way, and then it would die sometimes right in the middle of being led to a green pasture, because a little fly would go and attach itself to the back neck of the sheep and lay its eggs on the inside. The only remedy for that was called backlining. So the shepherd would have to backline all the sheep, which meant the shepherd would have to anoint all the sheep before he took them on the journey. The only way that the shepherd could defend and protect the sheep from the attack of the fly would be the anointing. In your Bible, the enemy is described as Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. And sometimes it feels like you just wandered off by yourself, fatigued and don't know why, lost and can't understand, don't know why you don't have no faith, don't know why you stop believing, don't know why you stop praising. It's because the enemy sowed something in the back of your head and laid his poisonous eggs. But there is a remedy called the anointing. Oh, just slap your neighbor high five and say, he didn't know I was already anointed. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. He didn't know that the good shepherd already anointed my head with oil. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. That's the only way I'm still making it right now, because my heavenly Father anointed my head with oil. It's the only reason I'm not losing my mind. It's the only reason I ain't quit. Oh, I dare I had somebody in here that believed what I'm talking about. I dare you to shout, I'm anointed, I'm anointed. Oh, I feel this thing down in my spirit. The shepherd had to backline the sheep. It had to pour oil all over the head and the back of the sheep in order for the sheep to be able to withstand the poison of the fly. The fly is going to lay its poison, but the oil is going to protect you from the poison. Oh, God. Oh, God. The fly is going to come and try to penetrate your soul and your psyche, but it's the anointing that's stopping the larva from forming in its totality. So what he sowed dies on the inside of you and never comes to full fruition. Just touch three people and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against me I shall condemn, because I am anointed. I feel the Lord in here. He tried to take you out, but you were anointed. He tried to stop your vision, but he tried to touch your body, but you were anointed. Yeah, baby. Yeah, he threw his best shot. He saw some awful things in your life, but you're still here because your head is anointed. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. The oil that goes on to the head of the lamb runs down and forms a protective coat on the skin of the sheep. And so when the bow fly comes to lay its eggs, what happens is the attack that was meant for the sheep gets loosed before the sheep gets to the promised pasture. So the attack comes, so that when you get to the promised pasture, you can drink from the still waters. Ah, Not only does it perform a protective coat, but it has a fragrance that's attached to it. The oil that the sheep would use would be a setup for the fly. So that the fly would come early in the process, so that by the time you got to the promised pasture, you weren't worried about the poison, because by the time you get to the promise, the poison is gone. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I believe I'm talking to somebody who's gone through some poisonous, some treacherous stuff, but it was a setup. God anointed you first before you had to deal with the poison, so that when you got to the prom, this is why it hadn't worked. This is why it hadn't worked. And whenever a sheep, watch me now, would stray off, even though it was anointed, the shepherd would just break its leg. Not the enemy, the good shepherd would break the leg of the lamb so that the lamb would not wander off, so that the lamb would have to stay close to the shepherd. So the brokenness that you feel is the shepherd saying, I need you close, so that you learn how to trust me and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. The oil was poured on the back of the sheep, and the oil would run all throughout the body of the sheep until it ran over, so that no matter where they would get stung, no matter where the fly would come to lay its larva, its eggs, in its back, it wouldn't work. Touch three people, say, it ain't gonna work. He threw his best shot, but it ain't gonna work. He threw the kitchen sink, the refrigerator, and the stove, but it ain't gonna work. I feel like preaching up in here. He sent people to poison my vision, but it ain't gonna work. He sent the wrong individuals, but it ain't gonna work. David makes a statement before the oil, and he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So something prophetically significant is taking place in that text. And the only thing I can imagine in my mind prophetically is that David is getting insight into a future that God has given him inside information on, because he's basically prophetically declaring what Jesus is about to experience in Matthew 26. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus in Matthew 26 is coming to the fulfillment of his assignment. He's been telling his disciples for 3 years that I'm going to die, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to go through this experience and this process, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. And they did not understand what he was talking about. But Jesus had some flies with him on the journey that had to play their role until he could implement a new understanding of a better covenant. See, God is not going to bring you into something better until he can get rid of something bitter. God is not going to bring you into the blessing until you go through the process of being broken. Who am I talking to in here? So the process of what Jesus is dealing with is coming to a head. And right up close on him are 12 individuals that he handpicked and selected. And they're in Bethany. Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem. And while they're in Bethany, where they often frequented for Passover, it's 2 days before Passover, 2 days before they're going to partake of what's known as the Passover meal. And Jesus uses this opportunity to institute something new. So at Bethany, There's a woman that comes in with an alabaster box. Jesus is sitting there with the 12, knowing that the time of his departure is at hand. And when the woman comes in, and reverses the role, and she comes in with a box of her history. Her name was Mary. Lord have mercy. She was the woman that Jesus stepped in front of when she was about to be stoned to death for her adultery, because she was a working woman. You feel me? You understand what I'm talking about? And she had this thing called an alabaster box, which was filled with the oil or the perfume that she would douse herself in as she would go to work. She saved this box, which held all of the oil, which was 1 year's wage, only to bring it to Jesus at this point in her life, because her past was over. And the only evidence that was in existence of what her past used to look like was that alabaster box filled with the fragrance that she used to wear. And so she brings it to Jesus while he's in Bethany, and she cracks open the box. Watch me now. And she anoints his head with oil. Thou anoints my head with oil. Oh, you got to get it. My cup runs over. Just like David prophetically is saying, the Lord anoints my head with oil, the woman comes in and anoints Jesus' head with oil. It runs all the way down to his feet, and she wipes it with her hair. It is the disciples, namely Judas, who says, this is a waste. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. And he has an issue. All of them had an issue. But it's Judas that's the one that's really talking. And they all had an issue with it. And Judas is like, this is a waste. Oh, we could have sold this. We could have did this with it. And Jesus said, let the woman alone. Can't you see? She has done a good thing. Look at your neighbor and say, getting rid of your past is a good thing. Oh, God, Lord, have mercy. She brings her past to Jesus and says, I'm going to anoint you with the oil of my past so that I can receive the anointing for my future, until you can get rid of some of the stuff that you're dealing with in your past. You can't receive what God has for you in your future. She anoints him with oil. And then after the anointing, Jesus says to his disciples, go to Jerusalem. There's a man in Jerusalem who has a table prepared for us. After the anointing, Jesus says to his disciples, go to Jerusalem. There's a man, oh, you don't hear me. There's a man in Jerusalem. How will we know? There's a lot of men in Jerusalem, Jesus. How are we going to know who it is? The man is going to be carrying a pitcher of water. Men in Palestine don't carry water. You don't hear me. The only way you're going to know the man is that he's carrying a pitcher of water. And this is what Jesus tells his disciples. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Watch for a man who's carrying a pitcher of water, and tell him the master is coming to sit at the table. In other words, the man that was carrying the pitcher of water is nondescript. The Bible doesn't tell us who he is. He's just a man carrying water. A man carrying water doesn't happen in the Bible. So that means this is a divine arrangement. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a divine arrangement. But before you can enter into the divine arrangement, God had to give you a divine remedy. That's why he gave you the anointing before you sat down at the table. Because when you get to the table, you're going to have to talk to your enemies. I'm preaching right now. So he says, you're going to see this man. The man is nondescript. We don't know who the man is. He's carrying a pitcher of water, which means this is not normal, which means it's a divine arrangement. Go ahead, look at your neighbor again and say, you got a divine arrangement. You got a divine arrangement. You got to hear me. The table is set up before me in the presence of my enemies. They leave Bethany. They get to Jerusalem. And when they get to Jerusalem, they go in to where the table is set up. And they all sit down at the table. This table doesn't really do it justice. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, but this table that they would sit at would have three sides to it, one in the center, one down one side, one down the other side. And Jesus would be the host, and he would be sitting at the table, actually laying, and because it was huge couches all the way around, and Jesus would lay at the front of the table, and they would have the Passover meal. But something significant is taking place, because before they can actually have the Passover meal, some stuff is taking place and going down. In other words, at the table, they start having a discussion about who is going to be the greatest when Jesus comes into the kingdom. This is the time of Jesus' departure. He's about to die for these jokers. And they're arguing over who is going to be second in command. At the same time, Jesus takes this opportunity while they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest to implement some information that one of you who is sitting at this table is going to betray me. They said, "Who, Lord?" He said, "The one who has dipped the bread in the bowl and ate with me." Because when they got to the table, there was bread on the table. As a starter, you know, like an appetizer. They ain't had no coconut shrimp. They ain't had no calamari. They had bread as an appetizer with a little oil. And he says, "The one who has dipped the bread in the oil and ate with me." And they all said, "We all did that." And Jesus was basically saying, "Oh, it's one of you." Judas is at this table. And Jesus is dealing with Judas. And he's dealing with the disciples who are arguing and squabbling over who is going to be the greatest. And it would seem as though everything that Jesus had worked for is unraveling. It would seem like the divine remedy of the oil ain't working, and it would seem like the divine arrangements was all for naught, because it's all unraveling. And it would seem like it was all falling apart. But when you look at the text, you can see embedded and intimated in the text how calm Jesus is in the scenario. The disciples are arguing over positions. Judas is about to betray him, because he's at the table, and he's going to leave the table. And before he leaves the table, Jesus has a conversation with his enemies at the table, because he needs everybody to know who the enemies are at the table. At the table, Peter is saying, "I'll never deny you." And Jesus is like, "Please." Disciples are arguing over positions. Judas is plotting on betraying him. And all of this is happening while Jesus is at the table that was prepared for him. God, why would you prepare a table for me that's going to bring me to a place where I should be rejoicing? But I got to deal with all this mess as something that was prepared for me. God, it was prepared. I didn't just show up and say, "Can I get a table for 12? That was a man carrying a pitcher. This was divine. It was a divine arrangement. And now I got to sit at this table and hear all this mess, knowing I'm about to walk into the fulfillment of my assignment, and I got to deal with all of this." And Jesus flawlessly sits back and let the table talk. And while they're talking, he gets up from the table and wraps himself in a towel and go gets water while they're talking, and he starts washing their feet. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all. He lets them start talking, and he starts changing his clothes while they're talking. While the enemy is talking about you, you should be getting dressed for what's next. Why they hating on you? You should be preparing yourself for what God is about to walk you into. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I feel the Lord. I'm almost there. He gets up. He wraps himself in a towel and he starts washing their feet while they're talking. And he washes their feet. And after washing their feet, oh Lord, have mercy. Because of the divine remedy and because of the divine arrangements, he changes his clothes because there's a divine inevitability. In other words, it's inevitable that you're gonna win. That's why you ought to be changing your clothes and getting yourself ready for what God has for you next, because your victory is inevitable. I'm gonna just let that marinate in the atmosphere. I ain't trying to hype you. I'm trying to prophesy to you. Your victory is inevitable. I gotta hurry up. Watch this. Watch this. He washes their feet. And then he says, one of you are gonna betray me. And Judas speaks up and says, is it I? And Jesus said to Judas, you said it. And Judas gets up and leaves the table. You don't hear me. He gets up and he leaves the table. He gets up and he leaves the table. They haven't had the meal yet. But Judas gets up and leaves the table. Passover meal hasn't taken place yet. But Judas gets up and he leaves the table. You don't hear me. They haven't had the meal. But Judas gets up and he leaves the table, because your betrayer can't be present when your blessing takes place. Who am I talking to? Your betrayer has to exit the scene before God institutes the blessing that he really has for you. He leaves the table. And when Judas leaves the table, now we're in Matthew 26:26. When Judas leaves the table, he took bread. I'm preaching. When Judas leaves the table, Jesus takes bread. He takes this bread and he looks at his disciples and he blesses it. Ah, God. And then he breaks it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. They had never heard of such a saying, and Jesus couldn't say it in front of the betrayer, because a new covenant was about to be instituted. God is removing from your life people who are not built to be a part of your next blessing. Who am I preaching to up in here? Slap your neighbor high five and say, bye, baby, bye. God is not about to release a new covenant with your hater sitting right next to you. He took the bread and he broke it. And that was the first time they ever heard anything like that. Because, watch me now, at the Passover meal were four components that had to be bread that was unleavened. There had to be the Passover lamb, but there was no lamb described in the meal. The Bible says he took bread because the lamb at the table was Jesus. Oh! I'm preaching better than Yahshua. So he took the lamb off the table and he says, I am the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. That's why he took bread and he didn't take the lamb. You don't have to partake of my pain. You just have to partake of my purpose. So I'll break the bread so that you don't have to go through the pain. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. There was the lamb. There was the bread. Watch me now. And they had to eat bitter herbs. So he took the lamb off the table and he took the bitter herbs off the table. So the only thing that was on the table was the bread and the blood. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. God has taken the pain off the table and God has taken the bitterness off the table. Who am I talking to in here? And the only thing left for you to eat is the bread, the word of God, and the blood of Jesus. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, the blood still works, baby. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here, but I'm about to partake of the word of God and the blood of the living. The blood still works. He takes bread and he breaks it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took a cup. There were four cups for each four components of the meal. And he took a cup and he said, this cup. Because there were four cups and he waited until this cup to say, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The first cup is the cup of benediction because God gives the benediction at the beginning, not at the end. We do the benediction at the end, but God does the benediction at the beginning. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So God always starts with the end before he brings you to your beginning. God declares the end from the beginning. So the first cup I drink is my benediction. So I partake of my end before I experience my beginning. You didn't hear what I just said. That means when God starts me, I'm already finished. Oh, slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's already done, baby. I wish I had a sanctified church in here. High five three people and say, it's already done. I feel the Lord God in here. The first cup is the cup of benediction. The second cup after the benediction is the cup known as Hallel. That means there's a praise in between my benediction and whatever happens next. So my benediction is a cup. The cup of Hallel is the cup of praise. The third cup is when Jesus stopped the whole cycle, which is the cup of redemption. Lord, have mercy. He says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And in other words, when you drink this cup, everything that you lost is going to be redeemed back to you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, after this next praise, it's the cup of redemption. And everything you lost is coming back your way. I dare you to take 30 seconds and bless them. Hey! Oh! Oh! High five your neighbor real quick and say, I got one more hallelujah in me. Because I lost some stuff in 2018 that God is about to restore to me right now. Throw your head back. Oh. So you drink from the cup of benediction. You drink from the cup of Hallel, which is hallelujah, praise. Because there's a praise between what God is about to redeem and what God is about to bless. The cup of benediction, the cup of Hallel, the cup of redemption. And the last cup is the cup of blessing. And he said, this cup, the cup of redemption, is the New Testament in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. So every time I drink out of the cup of redemption, I remember that it ain't over. I remember that I'm healed. I remember that I'm blessed when I come and blessed when I go. I remember that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath. I remember that I'm more than a conqueror. I remember that he anointed my head with oil. And the Bible says, when they partook from the Lord's table, because it wasn't called the Lord's table, it was called the Passover meal. So God was shifting. I'm almost done. The conversation. Slap your name and say, God's about to shift your conversation. We've been talking about Passover, what we came out of, but we ain't been talking about what we're going into. Oh, slap your neighbor, good high five, and say, God is shifting your comment. Oh, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God is shifting. So before the shift, the Bible says that they sung a hymn before the shift. That last praise was for what I was going to get redeemed, the stuff I lost. But the next praise is for the stuff I'm about to come into that I didn't know that was waiting for me. Slap your neighbor a good high five and say, neighbor, this praise is for the blessing of my future. And I dare you on the count of three to go to losing your mind for what God has in store for you that's waiting for you. Right down the road. One, two, three. Shout like you believe. Shout like you believe. Yeah. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, this is for my future, baby. This is for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. This is for my future. I dare you to praise him. 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 I dare you. God is shifting the conversation. Your table talk is about to shift. He institutes a new covenant. Worship. He institutes a new covenant, but he doesn't instituted with the betrayer at the table. See, God can shift your table talk because your betrayers are not at the table. They had to be at the table for the old conversation. Who am I talking to? Who? They had to be present. They had to be present so they could discover that they were the betrayer. Is it me? You say. Because sometimes people actually don't know they're disrupting your vision. God, help me, Holy Ghost. And the Lord shifted the entire conversation and instituted, watch me now, the Lord's Supper. We call it the Last Supper. The reason it's called the Last Supper is because that's the last time we saw him like that. So you're about to have your last supper. This is the last time we see you like this. Oh, who am I talking to? And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Ushers, get ready to serve communion. And when he had given thanks, he took the cup after he had supped, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. I believe God is about to fill your heart and fill your life with newness of life. Today is a day of new covenant. Help me, Holy Ghost. I know I'm prophesying to somebody. Today is a day of new covenant. Today is a day of new hope. Today is a day your spirit gets refreshed. Today is the day your betrayers depart your table. This is a day of blessing, of refreshing and renewal. God smiles upon you today. And he says, I already anointed your head with oil. I did it before you ever went through the process. And everything the enemy tried to sow, collapse. Collapse. Hallelujah. They sung a hymn. And they left the table. You're leaving praising. You're leaving praising. You may be seated so that the ushers may serve you. Worship. Worship. It's real grapes.
You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You You are the risen King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah.
This is my body, which is broken for you. Receive the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the same manner, after giving thanks, took a cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Receive the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he coming? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, take 20 seconds and worship the Lord for what he did in your life today. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice, and give him glory all over the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, stand to your feet. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Great, great, great. I said this a few Sundays ago. I think I said it Wednesday night. We need the body of Christ to be the body of Christ, man. Our city is suffering from a poison that was sown by a bowfly. And he has laid his eggs in the culture of our city. And we have individuals and people who have decided to take on the spirit of murder in such a profound way. And they started something called Baltimore Ceasefire. And I'm so glad that they are worshiping with us this morning. What's up, squad? We love you, squad. We got your back, squad. Come on, KLC, tell these folk. We got your back, squad. They're going on a prayer walk today, right after service. If you want to join them, please feel free to join them. They're going to end up right here, back here, and we're going to have prayer and close it out in prayer. 5-something this morning, a lady was killed by violence. 13-year-old killed over the weekend. We have to continue to fight. And the only way we can do it is together. The anointed of the Lord has to stand up. So if you can, I'm asking, if you can take time, take the time. Join us for prayer. If you can't be out there for prayer, pray for them. Encourage them. Go on their social media and give them some encouraging words. Help them. Support them financially. Do something. Amen. Come on, lift those hands and receive the blessing of the Lord. I know that word blessed me. I don't know about you, but it blessed me. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood that still works cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Hug two or three people and say, the table is set.